That's Shakespeare. Can't you see how intelligent I am? Take your Bibles. No, you cannot see it, huh? Take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 15. Judges 15. Let's begin reading with just verse 15. Should be a familiar passage of Scripture. Should be a familiar story. And Abigail, I'm sorry. I was expecting you to sit with your family. So when I come in and saw your family, your brothers and your daddy, and then I looked over and I recognized you, but I wasn't putting two and two together. You know how that is. You associate people with other people. And I'm sitting over there. I walked right past you and just waved. Well, that's the best you got. That's more than you deserved. Good to have you here, honey. Now that I've embarrassed you, and you'll need 50 years of therapy just to get over this bad night at church. And he found a new jawbone. That's our text for tonight. Judges 15:15, and he found a new jawbone. Do you believe your Bible? Somebody say amen. You believe your Bible? You know, if you don't, how you handle Genesis 1:1 will determine how you handle the rest of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, if you don't believe that, then what makes you that what makes us think John 3:16 is real? If your God, and I don't say yours, but if your God can't create the world by just speaking it, then he can't save mine and your soul. He can't walk on water. He can't take 5 loaves, 2 fishes and feed a multitude of people. He can't raise the dead and heal the sick. And he's still laying in a grave somewhere. Here's one of these stories in the Bible that I believe is as real and as historical as Genesis 1:1. Please get this in your... You will have a problem with your Christianity if you don't believe this stuff. Are you following me? An inconspicuous, insignificant man. A 1,000 trained soldiers come to take him. Kill him. Mock him. As they're going to do later on. In a couple of chapters after he gets caught up in his sin, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. You know, that's some of the saddest words in the Bible. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And his sin cost him his eyesight. His sin cost him his freedom. And his sin cost him his life. It binds. It grinds. It does all that the Bible claims it does. But in this particular chapter, this very inconspicuous man, and I want you to pay attention to that. This is just all by way of introduction. I'm going to try my best to get to my points quickly. But there was nothing about this man, nothing about Samson, that would make us think, yeah, I can see him killing 1,000 Philistines. Same goes with David. David was a ruddy-faced youth of 17. Come out to challenge the 9-foot-3-inch Goliath, who had a spear so large they equaled it to a weaver's beam. And with a stone and a sling, that little boy killed a giant. And his victory was so inspirational that it encouraged the hearts of all the army of Israel, that they come rushing across that valley and drove the Philistines back to Philistia. I believe that. Do you believe that? I do. I have no problem believing that. I have a problem believing that Joe Biden's a good president, but I have no problem believing. I thought I'd say that to see if he was awake. Bible says of Jesus Christ that there was no comeliness nor beauty that we should desire him. I don't do this by any stretch of the imagination, by any means whatsoever, to diminish the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, not George, the Bible says there was no comeliness nor beauty that we should desire him. There was nothing about the physical outward appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ that drew people to him. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Very inconspicuous. The Bible says of Paul, and I believe Josephus, that Roman historian, described him this way. He was a man of about 5'2" in stature, hunchback, and had bad eyes. To the place that he never physically handwrote any of the epistles. He always dictated them, except the epistle to the Galatians. And he closes out the book of Galatians by saying, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. He's not saying it in length. He's saying it in size. His eyes were so bad that he had to write, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. He had to write it in such a way, in such a size, that he could see what he was writing. And those Galatians were so grateful to the Apostle Paul for bringing them to Christ that they were willing, he said, to pluck out their own eyes and give them to Paul, that he might not have this affliction that I believe was what he prayed about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I had an affliction of the flesh, and I sought the Lord 3 times to have this removed. Think about that. Here was a man who made handkerchiefs, blessed them, and distributed them among the Christians, and they were healed by them. But the Lord wouldn't hear that prayer. Think about that. Here was this Apostle Paul, who a lot of people were healed. The prayer of faith saved those sick. But he left Trophimus at Miletum sick. And he told the young preacher boy, Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Don't drink it like a liquor. Take it like a medicine. Why didn't he heal him? Because sometimes God doesn't heal everybody. And God told him, after crying out to him 3 separate times, please take this infirmity. He said, I sought the Lord 3 times. But the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. Can I say it? Can I backtrack just a little bit with that little thought? I like saying this in a church full of Baptists. My first wife died 10 years ago. I like saying that. My first wife, that usually scares everybody to death. And it broke my heart. And you know, I can talk that way with this sweet woman that God has given me, because she loved her like a sister. But I'll never forget. And now I'm talking about never despise the day of small things. He took a jawbone. A very inconspicuous. Samson was not Hercules. He wasn't 10 foot tall with muscles as big as cows. With strength to bend steel and to... Think about this. There was nothing like him as far as Christ that would make a person say, I can see him doing that. Paul with a hunchback, bad pair of eyes. The Bible says of himself, his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. There was nothing about Paul that drew people but his word. happening tonight in this very auditorium. Paul said, take this from me. Take this from me. I bet you any money he prayed fervently. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availed him up. But God finally said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he said, I would rather therefore glory in my infirmity. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Then I am strong. I'm sitting in my house after those that love me the most had to finally get on with the rest of their lives. They couldn't sit there and hold my hand. They couldn't sit there and watch TV with me. They couldn't stay there until it was time to go to bed. They had to go back to their own houses, back to their own families. And it's just me. It's just me and my sorrow and my grief. And I don't say this lightly. There were times I wished I was dead. There were times I have a 9mm. You say, you thought that? You know why I find it easy to confess that? Look at me. You know why I find it easy to confess that? I have found it very easy to confess what I know everybody's guilty of. Did you hear that? Look at me. I'm not hiding something. And listen to me. I don't want you to think, well, that's Brother Griffiths. Well, that's Brother George. Youth camp. See some thousand young people, 4,000 young people, say literally dozens of young people in the ministry tonight, pastoring. I've held revival meetings with two of them in the last 6 months. But I sit there with an empty heart, a woeful spirit, and I thought, never came close, but it did cross my mind. I got to get out of here because I have a feeling. Shame on us. To think that we're something. For a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. No wonder David, as he lay there in the open field looking at the sun, moon, and stars, the works of God's hand, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visiteth him. We are like the dust of the balance. So inconspicuous, so insignificant, so unnecessary. But this inconspicuous fellow took up a jawbone of a dead animal and slew 1,000 Philistines. You say, Brother Griffiths, did you really have those kind of thoughts? Yeah. But thank God, his grace was sufficient. Thank God, in the quietness of my solitude, in the depths of my own darkness and depression and discouragement, when the thought crossed my mind, another thought crossed my mind. My boys are going to try to get a hold of me. Nope, people are going to start trying to get a hold of me. I will probably lay here in this bed, dead for 3 or 4 days before somebody says, we need to go over and check on George. And the last thing I wanted was for my boys to have to break the door down and go in and find their own daddy. And I get, look at me with your God-given eyeballs. I put two and two together. I thought, if my sons had to do that, I was so self-centered. And did you know that suicide is the ultimate sacrifice to self? Amen. You know what I believe about that? You want to get even? Just live. Just live. People that don't like you will be glad when you're dead. So just live. Live happy. Live joyous. Have a spring. If you have to fake it, just live. I wish he would die. I just want the devil to say, I just wish he would die. But I did not. I did not want Brother Harvey for my boys to go in and find the lifeless body of their daddy, who was supposed to be a man of God. Because I promise you, as sure as my next words are coming out of my mouth, this is what the devil would have whispered in his ear. I guess God's grace was insufficient enough for him. Don't you know he's like that? Because he's not after just me. He's after you. He's after you. And he's after them. And any tool he can use to pick up and hurt somebody's life, he'll be gladly to pick it up and do something. But thank God, his grace is sufficient. And this inconspicuous man picked up an insignificant weapon, and with the blows of 1,000 on the heads of 1,000 men, he slew 1,000 Philistines. Killed them. You know what bothers me about this story? 3,000 of his own brothers, his own brethren. Are we not brothers and sisters here tonight? 3,000. I like this. 3,000 of his own family, Jews, came up to the rock where he was hiding out from the Philistines and bound him up. Now think about this. Just think about this. There were 3,000 of them and 1,000 Philistines. They outnumbered them 3-1. Think about that. Why didn't they go down there and do that? No. They were willing to criticize and bind their own family members, their own blood. We are all blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, flows through our veins tonight. And we sell each other out because we think of ourselves more highly than we ought. They bind him up. Put the new rope on him. I like it because it says it 4 times. From the beginning of the life of Samson to this very moment, that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. What was Samson's strength? You just heard it. It was the Spirit of the Lord. And he took those ropes and broke them as they were burnt flax. Took that jawbone of an ass. Slew 1,000 soldiers. Not 1,000 men, but 1,000 soldiers armed to the teeth. Very inconspicuous, with a very insignificant weapon, the jawbone of an ass. But God gave him a very inspirational victory. And you remember, you say, but Brother Griffiths, I'm just a kid. God wants to use you. In fact, you are a prime candidate. Because what glory can you get out of being just a youth? God wants to use you to take up the jawbones that he leaves laying around to get the victories that will inspire others. My grace, thank God, I was able to come through that because of the grace of God. Because God's presence was real with me. And his grace, my sweet thing, was sufficient and is sufficient. When I am weak, then I am strong. What are you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? That jawbone was more than a jawbone in the hands of a Spirit-filled man. Jawbone was more than just the jawbone of a donkey in the hands of a Spirit-filled man. 4 times the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the Bible says. Not just came upon, but mightily. And you know, I hope I made a point to you. Christ looked insignificant and inconspicuous. He did. Paul looked inconspicuous and looked insignificant. David, his own brother Eliab, who was the oldest. And let me just say this about that while I'm thinking about it. Did you know that Saul, the king at that time, was head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the nation of Israel? He was the tallest man. You know who I believe that giant belonged to? That giant was Saul's giant. But Saul wouldn't conquer his giant. Eliab, who was the oldest in the house of Jesse, he could have fallen to him, the oldest. But it fell to the youngest because no one else would take up the stones. No one else would go out on the field. And no one else would say, the battle is the Lord, and I'm going to give your carcass to the birds. Please get this in your heart. Yes, we are nothing. But God takes nothing and wrought great victories with it. Paul said, as I said earlier, his bodily presence was weak and his speech contemptible. But his words were weighty and his influence. And look at me, his victory. I'm looking at his victory. I'm looking at Jesus Christ's victory. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth, look at me, much fruit. You know what the problem with Christianity in 2022 is? We don't think God can use us. We think we're... If he can take a jawbone, if he can take a beady-eyed Jew, if he can take a man whose visage was so comely that nobody recognized him and had desire towards him, then you know what your problem is? You don't think you're unworthy. Do you hear me? You and I don't think. 50 years ago, some young preacher walked up to me one time at camp not long ago and said, "What, Brother Griffiths, what's the difference between the church today and the church 50 years ago? You know what my first response was? I wanted to smack him. To have him think I was that old. And then the Holy Ghost said, "But son, you are that old. You started 50 years ago. You are that old." And I look that old. And sometimes I act that old. But I didn't have to think about this answer. I did not have to think about this answer. I looked at that young man who was in his early 20s, the leader of a youth group from another state. And I looked at him and I said, 50 years ago, we went to church and were told how wretched we are and how that Christ is the answer. Today, in 2022, we go to church and we hear how lucky God is to have us. No, listen to me. We're nothing more than a jawbone of a dead donkey. We're nothing more than the dust of the balance. We're nothing more than insignificant dust that's blown in the wind. I'm here to tell you, but God can do miracles. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And we are more than conquerors. You know, if you're having a problem with this, you think more highly of yourself than you ought. And did you know that false humility is the worst kind of pride? Did you hear that? False humility is the worst kind of pride. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven, and then shall I heal their land. God's looking for dust. God's looking for somebody. 3,000 cowards! If they'd just manned up. I heard today on the news that there are soldiers, American soldiers, which makes me proud, that have volunteered to go to Ukraine. When Zelensky was asked what he wanted, he said, "Just send us more bullets. We don't need a ride out. We just need more bullets." And I'm here to tell you, we don't need a bunch of people strutting around talking false humility. I'm talking, "Listen, Lord, I can do this, but I can do it if you'll just give me the strength." But it needs to be done. 3,000 men refused to do it. But the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and he took that jawbone of that newly dead jackass and slew 1,000. Threw 1,000 men with just the jawbone of a donkey. Yeah, guess what? I am nothing. But his grace is sufficient. And I still can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And I want to give you just a few things tonight. In light of that jawbone, it's more than just a jawbone. If I have a title for the message, it's this. It's more than just a jawbone in the hands of a Spirit-filled man. I'm going to have fun tonight. I can tell you right now, it's more than just a jawbone. You look at me. I hate to have to preface what I'm about to say by saying this, but I was King James before it was cool. Did you hear that? I was King James before most of you were born. And I was King James while some of you were still lost. Amen? I was King James. But you look at me. And remember the words of the insignificant Baptist preacher. Yes, I am very insignificant. But God has done a very significant work. And when it's all, you know, honestly, fellas, when it's all said and done, how can I take credit for it? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And as Paul, the great epistle writer, said, O wretched man that I am, not past tense, after 25 years of being saved, he said, O wretched man that I am, present tense. That's her problem. Grace doesn't seem to be very amazing until you see yourself as a wretch. We are wretches. We're just nothing more than jawbones. But God's looking to pick up that jawbone and slay sin with it. And this is more than just a book in the hands of a Spirit-filled man. Did you hear that? You say, well, that's awfully arrogant. Listen to me. I can just hear the critics that come to bind us. The 3,000 that come to bind us. I can just hear them say, it's God honoring His Word. Think about this. Think about this next statement. If it's God just honoring His Word, how come He seems to honor it more with some than He does with others? How come some people can preach and hold you captive, and some people can't even talk without keeping you from going to sleep? Amen. That's good preaching right there. That woke somebody up. It's more than just a book. Yes, I believe in the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It does what we cannot do. It separates the soul from the spirit. But it's more than just another book in the hands of a Spirit-filled man. And God gave you a responsibility to teach Sunday school and teach a junior church. Why don't you get alone with God? Instead of relying upon your own intellect, get alone with God and allow Him to fill you with His Spirit and pick up this jawbone. And now this is funny. If it's just God, as I said before, just honoring His Word, how come it seems like He honors it more with some than He does with others? And I could just hear somebody now. I could hear one of the 3,000 critics say, well, Brother George is down there in that holler, sometimes seeing as many as 50 and 60 kids saved in a week. It's just God honors His Word. Would you do me a favor? Honestly, would you do me a favor? If it's just God honoring His Word, and we're supposed to go into the world and preach the gospel, why don't you do it too? Why don't you join the list? Why don't you get 150 some odd kids saved in one summer? Amen. Well, it's just, you know, it's easy to win them kids to the Lord. Then how come you don't do it during vacation Bible school? Of course it's good. Amen. I'm just being funny. But God picked up a jawbone. Because it's more than just a jawbone in the hands of a Spirit-filled man. What about that preacher? It goes along with it. If it's just God honoring us, have I lost anybody? Have I turned anybody off of that? Then do me a favor. If it's just the Word, then how come we're told to preach the Word? How come, if it's just the Word, why don't we go into the towns and just stand on the street corners and read Psalm 119? Now granted, I believe the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. Amen? Amen? You know what Dr. Lagan said about that kind of stuff? He said, if an old banny hen will go off into the woods and hatch off 20 eggs, break 19 of them, and come walking out of the woods with that little bitty chick behind it, clucking like they've done something great. Amen. What are you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? We can do this. Because all we are is jawbones. But it's more than just a jawbone in the hands of an almighty God. And it's more than just preaching. If it's Spirit-filled, it's more than just a preacher. If the preacher were more than just a jawbone in the hands of a mighty God, He's chosen the foolishness of preaching. Are you pondering that? Is that why you're so quiet? Seriously. Are you supposed to win souls? I'm not trying to pick on you. You're supposed to be a soul winner. Daddy always said, when one goes out, Brother Harvey, I got three of them pointing back. I'm so insignificant that sometimes I don't want to point at anybody. I just want all four of them to come back on me. That's how. But I have found out His grace is sufficient. It wouldn't have taken much, brother. Part of the reason why I'm up here preaching right now is I didn't want to disappoint you. I'm tired. I'm not a kid anymore, but I have an obligation to my dear friend, and I didn't want to disappoint him, but I'm here to tell you I have an obligation with the Heavenly Father who called me to preach 50 years ago, and I sit there on that pew and I say, do it, God, one more time. Just do it one more time. And I've stood on the back porch of my house or up at the tabernacle on my face or my knees, lifting my hands to heaven saying, God, don't be done with me yet. Don't be done with me yet. Some of you never let it begin with you, let alone come to the place you don't want to be done with. That's good. Don't be done with me yet. I'm 70 years old. I'm getting close enough to heaven. I can smell the blossoms on the tree of life. I hear wedding music. Amen. But you know something? I like being a jawbone. I like being an insignificant bone of a dead animal. What was it? Mephibosheth said to David, what am I that you would look upon such a dead dog as I? A dead dog as I. But it's more than just the jawbone in the hands of a mighty God. Do it tonight. I can do all things through Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. If we just be willing, Lord, would you pick me up? Here am I, Lord, send me. And I like what Isaiah said. How long? How long shall I go? And God said, until the mountains are wasted and the cities are in ruin. I'd like to sit down. My mind says I'm 35. My humor says I'm 10. But my body says, you still alive? Shouldn't you be dead? But there's a part of me that I can't find a good place to get off the merry-go-round. I can't find a good place to sit down with a glass of sweet tea and watch the younger people do it. And sometimes, listen to me, have we not lived long enough? Have we not lived long enough? that we see these cookie-cutter preachers come out of these Bible colleges. And we think to ourselves, God, don't take me home yet. If that's what's going to replace me, don't take me home yet. Don't take me home yet! Because I still want to cry aloud. I still want to spear out. I still want to lift up my voice like a trumpet. And say, God, I'm just a jawbone. But he's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. It's more than just a jawbones in the hand of a mighty God. What about the prayer warrior? Did you know how inconspicuous can you get by going to a closet? Think about that. It's not the long prayers that we pray in public that get the job done. It's that prayer warrior who goes into that closet place. For the Bible says, enter your closet, shut the door for your God, for your Father which is in secret. You want to find God? Go to the prayer closet. Go to the prayer closet. And you'll find him. And I like this preacher. I don't know if I said this when I was with you up there in January. Come out of that prayer closet. Come out of that prayer closet. For your Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. You come out of that insignificant, inconspicuous closet, spending time alone with God who's in secret. For your Father which is in secret, he'll come out and he'll reward you openly. Samson come down off of that rock, picked up that jawbone. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. You can tell somebody had been alone with God. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, went up into the mountain and spent the whole night in prayer. Or many times rising up while it is still dark and praying until daybreak. But you can find him walking on water. You can find him taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and breaking it and feeding a multitude. You can find him at the city of Nain raising a 21-year-old boy to life. Or outside the tomb of Lazarus having a roll of stone away and saying, Lazarus, come forth. You can find him with a blind man. Saying, behold, you can find him with lepers and they become clean. You can find him by the pool of Bethesda and God rewarded him openly. And let me just say this. You know what the Bible says of Jesus Christ? That God gave of his Spirit without measure to him. That Holy Spirit that fell upon Samson in measure fell upon Jesus Christ without measure. I don't look for any of us to be filled with the Spirit of God without measure. But I'd sure like to have some of what Samson got. Wouldn't hurt my feeling to have a little bit of what Samson had. And I think he has at times. And I praise him for it. Take this old jawbone. Let me slip away into a closet place and pray. Come out. Do you know that there are people that you know that you see something different about them? And God's rewarded them openly. I mean, the good Christians. The good Christians. The ones that you trust with your prayer request. Seriously. The ones that you go to with a broken heart, with a crumpled up piece of paper, say, will you pray with me about this? And we'll get into that in just a moment. You don't take that request to anybody. You take it to somebody who God picked up like an old jawbone and slew a giant with it and slew an army of sinners with it. The Bible tells us, take the whole armor of God. Having our loins girded about with truth and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Having our breastplate of righteousness and above all take the shield of salvation and the helmet of the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But what does he do? He closes out that, you put all that armor on. You put all that armor on. And the last thing he says for you to do, praying always. You know what that armor's for? It's for the closet. Because that's where the giants are slayed. That's where the armies of the devil are whipped. Because the army of God doesn't march into battle upon its feet, but rather upon its knees. And hell doesn't tremble with you on a pew, but hell trembles when you're on your knees. God takes an insignificant, inconspicuous jawbone like prayer warriors and turns the world upside down. All that closet is just the jawbones. Jawbone in the hands of a mighty God. And then last of all, I want to preach this one by telling you a story. It's just the jawbone of a preacher. It's more than just the jawbone in the hands of a mighty God. It's just the jawbone of a prayer warrior. That's all. Inconspicuous, insignificant. My sweet wife's sweet mother, she's gone to heaven, been there since 17. We used to banter about, tease one another, typical mother-in-law type stuff. Her home was in a town called San Andreas, California. Have you ever heard of the San Andreas Fault? It's a fault that runs through the length of California. And they tell us that one of these days that whole thing's going to break off and slip into the ocean. I called her one day and I said, I can't think of a better place for you to live. Well, she's, oh, my stars. And then she'd come back with something just as witty and just as fun. We just liked each other. We bantered about. I said, you know what your problem is? She says, what's that? I said, you live 200 miles too far in. Well, she said, well, that would put me in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I said, you got my point. She said, oh, my stars. But somebody said to her, and she was witty and she was spiritual. And she said, somebody said to her, oh, we better pray. And she is sarcasm. It was sarcasm for her. She said, oh, don't tell me it's come to that. Oh, don't tell me it's come to prayer. Oh, we're doomed. We've come to prayer. Oh, no, we're doomed. We got to pray. That's, you know why? Because you look at it and you say, you gotta be alone. You gotta be inconspicuous. The prayer closet seems insignificant, but hallelujah, it brings inspirational victory. Oh no, it's come to that. We've got to pray. 10/28/2010. I was in a revival meeting in Belpre, Ohio. Pastor said, we have a 21-year-old boy here dying of cancer. They've sent him home with hospice. We went there two or three times to see him. He was never conscious either time he was there. He had a morphine drip. Then when the pain got too much, there was a little trigger in that boy's hand. And he'd push it, and you'd hear that beep, and it would drop morphine. And his breathing would come back to normal. That was the kind of pain that boy was in. We sat there. I remember, Trophimus, have I left it? My late, I'm sick. My grace is sufficient for thee. Remember that? Paul, who had the power of healing, couldn't get healed himself. We go there and we pray. Those primary caregivers, those women, one of them, this is grandmother, that boy that lay there. One night at church, Miss Alma would come every night to the meeting. And she would spend every day with her grandson, 21-year-old Ryan. She met me at the back door as we were shaking hands as they were leaving. And she said, "Brother Griffiths, will you pray with me?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "Would you do me a favor?" She said, "Sure. Will you write your prayer request on a piece of paper? Give it to me, and I'll carry it into my Bible." And I told her, I says, "If any two agree as touching anything, they shall ask the Father, and it should be given unto them." You know what this is right here? A little bitty speck in the middle of all of that. It's a mustard seed. Insignificant, inconsequential, little bitty seed that you have to strain to look at. And Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, it's more than just a jawbone. You shall see into that mountain be removed into the sea. And here's what Miss Fenoy said to Brother George from Alma. "We have made a promise to each other to pray for someone to be saved because Brian's life or death. I thank you. I thank God for you, brother, and your life. 10/28/2010, 12 years ago. That's the boy who died there shortly after. God didn't heal him. And you know, we weren't praying for his healing. We were praying, we were agreeing that someone would be saved because of his life or his death. Brother Ken has me about every 18 months, every 2 years. And I come back in, that was October of 2010, and I come back in sometime in 2012. I'm walking down the aisle of that big church, and there was Miss Fenoy coming up. She jumped up out of her seat, come down the aisle. She said, "I want to introduce you to somebody." And there was a row or two, and there was a row and a half, and the rows could hold 18 people. She said, "I want you to meet Brian's mother. She got saved a month after Brian died. I want you to see Brian's sister, and I want you to see Brian's other sister, and I want you to see his cousin, and I want you to see his uncle. I want you to see the aunt who had got right with the Lord after Ryan passed away." And a whole row full of people had started coming to church when Ryan passed away. And we got to shouting. We were praising God that afternoon. And at church service, people stopped coming looking. They come in the doorway to say, "What was going on?" Miss Fenoy and I, she's old enough to be my grandmother, hugged my neck and she said, "Thank you, Brother Griffiths. Thank you, Brother Griffiths. It's not Brother Griffiths. Just the jawbone in the hands of a mighty God with this enough faith to say if any two agree as touching anything, they shall ask the Father. And it shall be given unto them." There's the jawbone of the preacher, the jawbone of the prayer warrior, and the jawbone of the participants. If any two on earth agree as touching anything, they shall ask God. Miss Fenoy died within 3 or 4 months of us getting together just long enough to rejoice over God taking the jawbone of two inconspicuous, insignificant Christians and using that jawbone to get at least a half a dozen of Brian's family members into the house of God by salvation, and the rest of them getting right with God as they watched that boy pass into eternity. They started thinking about eternal things. What you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? Yes, you and I are just jawbones. That's all we are. Let God pick us up and let God use us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's more than just a jawbone in the hands of a mighty God. shall go for us? Who shall we send? Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah, after seeing the glory of God, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm just a jawbone. I'm just a jawbone. But here am I. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Pick me up and use me." He's looking for the inconspicuous. He's looking for the insignificant. Not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this earth to confound the mighty, to wrought inspirational victories. Here am I, Lord. Pick me up and use me. Do it again, Lord. Don't pass me by. Use me. You here tonight and you've never been saved? I know a Savior who can save you, but you'll say, "Brother Griffiths, you don't know what I've done." God does. And God said, "There's nothing too hard for me. Nothing too hard for me. No sinner too great. No pit so deep that I'm not deeper still. All we are is jawbones. That's all we are." If that bothers you, then you are a weapon God can't use. You're too significant. You're too conspicuous. And your victory will bring you glory, and not God. Father, take this time of invitation. Use it for your glory and speak to our hearts. I thank you for what you allowed this unworthy servant to have tonight. And I'm glad we got one more night out of me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Preacher, you come on, buddy.